podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
Good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm not going to stand out here and list a bunch of people that aren't wearing green and are eligible for that pinch, but I might do a little pointing. But although St. Patrick's Day was originated to honor a 5th century saint, it has recently been associated with, among other less than saintly things, luck. Luck of the Irish, the four-leaf clover, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and all that. I think that Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi would not have been much fun at a modern-day St. Patrick's Day celebration, because he was once quoted as having said, "In my experience, there's no such thing as luck." Yes, Obi-Wan Kenobi is a fictional character from the Star Wars franchise of movies. However, he makes a good point. When it comes to our salvation, we look at his lessons of deliberate choices rather than fate, and I tend to agree. Why do I agree? Well, my search for the words luck and the word lucky in the text of the NIV, the EVS, or ESV, and the New King James all came up empty. We should not even consider trusting our eternal salvation to chance, but rather investigate the God-breathed word. What we will find when we dig in is that our salvation is not by chance, but the result of deliberate choices made. Our Heavenly Father chose to send his son. Jesus chose to accept the burden of our sins. And we who have been buried in baptism and risen anew choose to accept Jesus and accept his sacrifice on our behalf. As we gather around this communion table, we remember the choice Jesus made and the consequences, both the good and the bad of that choice. We remember that Jesus, accepting the penalty of our sin, was separated from the Father. We remember his pain, his suffering, and his ultimate death on the cross. But we also remember that that same choice broke our chains of sin. And that same choice offers us eternity in heaven. As we take these emblems, we choose to remember this sacrifice and proclaim that Jesus' power over death until the day he comes to take us home or the day he returns for his children. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we do have this time set aside each Lord's Day morning, that we can gather around this communion table, that we can gather at your invitation to remember the sacrifice made at Calvary. Heavenly Father, be with us as we take the bread and as we drink of the cup, that we remember the body of Jesus, battered and bruised, and that we remember the blood of Jesus and the new covenant that it represents for us. And we ask that each one of us takes it humbly and reverently. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It is good to see you all this morning. Does this come up some? Oh, there we go. I notice as I've gotten older. Anyway, can I tell you something this morning? Can I be honest with you? I'm tired. Not the way you think I'm tired. I'm tired because Wednesday, I mowed my yard. I was wearing shorts, and today it's cold. Come on, get here. But I am glad to be here as we wrap up our series today on what Jesus would not do. And if you remember, we started off the series that Jesus would not miss any opportunities, that, you know, whatever came in his path, or if he knew things that were an opportunity, he would go out of his way to make sure that opportunity got taken care of so that God would be glorified. Last week we learned that Jesus would not grieve hopelessly because we have a hope that there is a better life after this, and that we will be with God forever. And if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what does. And today is probably one of my favorite topics of this series, and that is Jesus would not avoid dirty feet. Now, there are things in life that you have to do that are dirty jobs. Have you ever done any type of dirty jobs in your life? I grew up on a farm, and there were plenty of dirty jobs. You know what the biggest dirty job was? Hey, you might be thinking cleaning out the cow stall or cleaning out the pig pen or the chick. You would think that. You know what the biggest, dirtiest job I had to do growing up? Cleaning my room. That was it. Cleaning my room. That was absolutely it. But I did a lot of dirty jobs growing up on a farm, and I learned a lot from it, the things that I wanted to avoid. Let me share some things with you this morning, maybe that you avoid that are dirty jobs. How many of you avoid washing clothes? I mean, that's in a sense a dirty job. And does your laundry kind of pile up to the point where you finally got to say, I got to do my laundry? I work with this young lady, and it seems like every day I'm like, so what are you going to do today? I'm going to do my laundry. She's always doing laundry. And I was like, well, if you didn't have six kids, you wouldn't have to do so much laundry. And she's always doing laundry. This one is my favorite because I don't know about you guys, but when I walk into my house, I walked into my house the other day, and I was in the kitchen, and there it was, staring plainly at me. And I think I even heard it, the garbage. Bill, take me out. Because you see, no one in my house takes out the garbage. I mean, it literally can get this high with garbage. Have you ever played garbage Tetris, where you kind of stick garbage? That's what it's like in my house. So I take the garbage out. Now, guys, fellas, let me give you a piece of advice this morning. There's another job that you don't like to do. And in our house right now, we have to do it every day and after every meal. And that is cleaning up the kitchen after a big meal. Guys, I'm going to give you a secret today on how you can get away from cleaning up the kitchen after a big meal. Learn how to cook. And then she'll clean the kitchen up afterwards, because you can say, I cooked the night. I made the meal. You can clean up. How about cleaning the bathroom? That's a dirty job, isn't it? Oh, we put that off as well. Now, I'm going to go back, and I haven't done this for a while, and maybe you're here, and you have children, and you have grandchildren. What about changing diapers? Wasn't that the worst? I don't know if they have it anymore, but back when we had kids, there was this thing called a diaper genie. Do they still have that? I don't know. All I know is it made sausages out of it. And every time you opened it up, it just stunk to high heaven. I mean, it was just horrible. And that was one of the jobs I hated, when Holly would be like, change the diaper genie. And I'm like, no, they're fine. We don't have to change their diaper. Today, we're going to look at a story from Jesus where he had the chance to avoid a dirty job, but he didn't do it. And that job was to wash feet, which back then, that was a very common job in those days. But see, the thing is that job was usually regulated to the servant. The servant would be the one who would wash people's feet when they came in, because back then, roads were dirty and they didn't have our nice shoes that we have today. And so they would wash their feet. But Jesus wanted to show us an example. He wanted to show us his willingness to accept a dirty job rather than avoid it, like a lot of us tried to avoid. So if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to look at this story this morning and learn a very practical lesson on not avoiding dirty jobs in our life. Because we're going to come across things in our life that we're not going to want to do. But Jesus gives us the example of how we need to do it and the attitude we need to have when we do those jobs. He says this, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Today, I want us to focus on one verse, one simple sentence. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You see, what Jesus was about to do was to teach his disciples and to teach us to love someone to the fullest extent. Without reservation, without hesitation. And I want to be honest with you today. Until we get a handle on this teaching, until we get a grasp on what Jesus was telling us, we will never be the church or the people of God that he wants us to be. We've got to learn to love to the fullest extent. And by examining what Jesus did, personally applying these actions that he showed us to our life can make a world of difference to people around us, in our homes, at work, at school, and even here at church. When people truly begin to see our church loving our community and loving people. You see, the full extent of love is something we must learn to do in order to be the people God wants us to be. I came across this illustration that just kind of blew me away because it goes way back. There's this lady by the name of Dolly Madison. And isn't that a pastry thing, Dolly Madison? But that's not who we're going to talk about. Dolly Madison was the wife of the fourth president of the United States. And at the time, she was one of the most popular women in America. Wherever she went, she charmed, she captivated everyone, whether they be obscured, well-known, rich, poor, men, women, children. They all really loved her. She was once asked to explain the secret of her power over others. And surprised by the question, Mrs. Madison exclaimed, "Power over people? I have none. I desire none." And this is what she said. She said, "I merely love everyone. I merely love everyone. And those who love are richly rewarded by love in return." So today what I want us to do is I want us to see that Jesus taught us the full extent of love. And there are three ways that he taught us. And he taught us how you love. He taught us who you love. And he taught us why you love. So let's look at how you love. Well, I only read the first five verses of this account, I believe there's a powerful point in this teaching found at the end of the story. In verse 15, it says this, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." You know, we learn a lot from Jesus, but we also learn a lot from our parents, don't we? And as parents, we set an example for our children. And our children watch us constantly. And so we got to be on our best behavior and do the best we can. Will we mess up as parents? Absolutely. But you know what I love about watching Jesus? He doesn't mess up. He gives us the perfect example of who and what we ought to be. You see, if you think about it for a moment, this is the only time in Scripture where Jesus said, "I have set for you an example." I mean, think about all the things he could have set for us as an example. Let me give you just a few. The first one is one that we all should get an example of, and that is this, is that we should understand how to fight off temptations. I mean, we are tempted every day, aren't we? And Jesus did, in a way, set an example for us, how he fought off temptations, but he specifically said in this instance, "Here, do my example." What about this? And this is one that we all can agree with as well. He was patient with people. How many of us are patient with people? You don't have to admit it. Can I tell you a very valuable lesson I've learned in the jobs that I've done over this last year? Is being patient with people. You know, in my job at the mission, working with homeless people, I had to be patient with them because I had to understand they didn't know a lot of stuff or what they needed to do. So I had to be patient. I had to learn to talk with them and listen to them. I have to be patient where I'm at now at McDonald's. And I come home every day complaining to my wife about people. Even though I really don't interact with them because basically I just cook all day, but I get to see and hear, and it just blows me away how picky people are and how they want their sandwiches. Just order it how it is on the menu. Let me tell you something. They had one the other day. So they ordered a Big Mac with just cheese, okay? I looked at the guy. I was like, is that not a double cheeseburger? I mean, what? I just thought, so you want to pay $5.25? Anyway, we got to be patient with people. Another way he could have set an example for us in another area that we struggle in is always obeying the will of God. But yet the only time he set an example was when he washed the disciples' feet. This tells us how important it is that you and I learn to love people to the fullest extent. Remember back in our first sermon, we said that we are supposed to be about people. We're in the people business. Well, serving as Jesus served is part of being in the people business. You should take from the examples of Jesus. You should take from the examples of Jesus. And when we look at what Jesus did here, we see that he lowered himself. He lowered himself. You see, the custom of foot washing was, again, as I said, due to the servants. It was a custom for the host to have a servant there to have their feet washed as they entered the home. The task was assigned to be very basic and menial. But Jesus still chose to do it. You see, on this particular night, Jesus and his disciples are using a borrowed room. So there is no host, there is no servants. And John makes a point where they're eating, and he tells us that they've been there for a while, and no one had taken time to wash the feet. Maybe they felt a little awkward. Maybe they felt a little indignant towards foot washing, that maybe they were above doing that. Maybe they were all inside going, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm supposed to do. But yet, in the middle of the meal, knowing that this task was not done, Jesus stood up and he stooped down. He stood up. He took a basin of water. He wrapped a towel around his side and he stooped down and began to wash the disciples' feet. You see, when you love someone to the fullest extent, you will lower yourself in humility. If you're going to love people to the fullest extent, not only must you lower yourself, but you will raise other people up. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever had to wash someone else's feet? Does that ever happen in your life? Let me be honest with you this morning. And Holly, I'll get an amen from her. I am not a foot person. I do not like feet. And I am married to a wife who likes her feet rubbed. So I learned how I could do that. This just hit me last night. I'm going to start charging her. I mean, think about it for a moment. She goes and gets a pedicure, right? Don't they rub your feet while you're getting? What do you pay, $25, $30? No, I'm kidding. I am not a foot person. I mean, I like feet. Matter of fact, I think they're disgusting. You will probably never see me wear sandals or flip-flops or anything. But when I was in prison, let's see if anybody caught that. When I did a ministry in prison, we would gather together, I think it was 3 weeks before we went into the prison, And on Friday nights, we would gather together and we would worship and we would pray, because we had the names of all the inmates that were going to be there. And so we would pray for them every week. And I thought, man, this is great, worshiping, meeting new people. And I was like, this is awesome. And then the third Friday, the Friday before we go into the prison, I walk into the chapel and there's a basin of water. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Each member had to wash each other's feet. You know what? At the time, I didn't even think how gross it was going to be. But I rather thought about this verse reminding me to lower myself and lift others up. This is the significance of Jesus washing the feet. He was not simply performing an act of service. He was lifting the disciples to a higher level. He was lifting them to a higher level. If you spend a week in my house, you know that seniority is everything. And maybe seniority is at your house as well. If you have seniority, you get to stay up late. That I don't anymore, do I, honey? But you get to stay up late. You get to sit in the front seat of the car. It drives Holly crazy because I like to drive everywhere, but I get to do it because I have seniority. Men, you get control over the remote. I don't know what we did back in the day before the remote. Was it, Junior, go change the channel? You get to go places where others cannot. You get to plan trips. You get to do a lot of things. But there are times when we have to give up our seniority to release our rights and allow others to go first. Why? Because we have to? No. Because we want to. And when we do that, that is showing love to the fullest extent. Listen to this earth-shattering passage. This was my first week I messed up, Bob. I don't know where I'm at on that, so I'll just share with you. Listen to this earth-shattering passage from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Have the same mindset. And what is his mindset? Jesus loved to the fullest extent, lowering himself and raising others up. It's how we love. So who do you love? Who you love? Here is the real challenge. Here is the real challenge. It's easy to love people we know who treat us with respect and dignity. It's easy to love them, but the real test comes loving those who are hard to love, who don't agree with us, who don't see eye to eye, the people who rub you the wrong way, the people who do not have you in good mind. It's hard to love them. And so for us to truly understand the act of washing the feet of disciples, we have to notice whose feet Jesus washed. The first is Peter. And Peter represents the friend who disappoints. Peter is the guy who in the next 12 hours will three times deny he knows Jesus. And Jesus knows this. He gets it. He's going in to do this, and yet he still washes his feet. Have you ever had a family member, a friend, a coworker disappoint you? It might have happened today. It might have happened yesterday. They let you down. They turned their back on you. They said something to hurt you. They stabbed you in the back. Have you ever had someone do that? Jesus would say, wash their feet. Lift them up. Lower yourself. You see, there is no room in God's kingdom for holding grudges or retaliations. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Yet I'm going to be honest with you this morning. That is a verse that has been with me and my wife over the last year. Forgiving others, just as Christ forgave you. And can I tell you something this morning? It's hard. It's hard. Now hold on, it gets even more challenging here. There was another guy in the room that night, Judas. He represents the enemy who attacks. Moments after the foot washing, Judas leaves the room and finishes his act of betrayal for 30 pieces of silver. He would turn over his Savior to be whipped and beaten and later crucified. Jesus knew this, and he still washed his feet. Have you ever had an enemy who did not like you? Can I say something? I'm going to brag on myself. Is that okay? Because this is something that just struck me yesterday, because I thought when this person shared it with me, I thought, you're right. I was talking to this lady yesterday, one of my managers, and she goes, how can people not like you? I was like, you're right. How can people not like me? I'm sorry. I just said that was funny when it kind of fit in here. But have you ever had people who did not like you? And it happens. People don't like you. Maybe someone at work who rubbed you the wrong way, a former spouse, a mean-spirited neighbor. Listen, the full extent of love is when you can look your enemy in the eye and still love just as Jesus loved. Let me ask you a question. What can you do this week to show the full extent of love to a friend who disappointed you or an enemy who has hurt you? Listen, until you settle this issue, you will never know the life Christ wants for you. We got to love to the fullest extent. So why do you love? Why do you love? As Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples, he comes to Peter, who protests him in washing his feet. Peter was not going to wash the feet of the 11, and he surely did not expect Jesus to wash feet either. Verse 7 gives us the rest of the story. Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. You see, the answer Jesus gives to Peter is critical to understanding salvation. Jesus told him the physical act of washing was a symbolic to the spiritual washing he would give Peter the next day on the cross. You see, on Thursday, Peter did not understand the significance of the washing, but after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it began to become all clear. Because the full extent of love was portrayed in a physical way. But the spiritual significance was eternal. As because of that day, our sins are now washed away. That is why Jesus left us an example. The full extent of love can have spiritual implications. And we can lead people to a connection with God. Do we understand that? That's what our purpose is here, is to connect people with God. Listen to this. Sometimes when it's really tough to love, you make the greatest spiritual impact. I do know I have that one, so I'm going to put that up there because I like it. Sometimes when it's really tough to love, you make the greatest spiritual impact. That is why we should love to the fullest extent. That's why we need to do it. Friends, let me tell you something this morning. There are a lot of dirty feet out there. There are a lot of dirty feet that we can avoid. And if I can be honest with you this morning, there probably have been times that I've avoided some. But that is not what Jesus taught us to do. If we are going to be God's people, it is time that we must realize that we must help those who are hurting and show them that Jesus' love can change everything in their life. And we do that by humbling ourselves to lift others up And if it means we wash someone else's feet, then we do it. We do it. We don't have much time here on earth. And we need to take full advantage of not avoiding things, but taking advantage, not missing opportunities. Because there are people who need to know who Jesus is today. Who need to know him. How many of you here, this is a silly question, know Jesus? Yes! So let's tell other people. That's what we're to do. And can I tell you something else this morning? They see it in you. If they know you go to church here or that Jesus is part of your life, they're watching and they're seeing how you are. And they'll see Jesus in you. Let's not avoid dirty feet. Let's wash them. And let's live out Jesus' example. Let's pray. God, again, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and share your word. God, let us not avoid situations. Let us live by your example of showing people Jesus, the extent of your love that you showed us. Let's let people know that you died on the cross to give us eternal life. God, we thank you for that. And we lift everything up to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you want to love to the fullest extent, Jesus needs to be part of your life. And one thing I love about this church is that you have that opportunity. Now, I'm going to say something. If I say this and you don't agree, let me know. You don't only have to get baptized on Sunday. Okay, good. If you need to, call, talk to someone. We want you to have that full extent of love. But it only begins with a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus needs to be part of your life. He needs you. And you need him. And so as we finish up today, and as we come to the point of making decisions in our life, what are you going to do? Do you want to love God to the fullest extent? We encourage you to make any decision. Come talk to us. We'll talk to you. We'll pray with you if you need prayer. But whatever you do, let's do it all for the glory of God as we stand and sing our song of invitation.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.